opportunity. It's always a pleasure to be invited to preach the gospel and to be amongst friends. So I feel like I'm home. I'm not new to this congregation. And I thank Curtis for calling me, and it's wonderful to look at these words of God and try to decipher what he desires from us. And the objective today is for us to be encouraged, for us to walk right with God, and to, if we're not walking right with God, to begin that journey by doing what God requires us to do to be saved. Everything that we do because we do it doesn't mean it's right with God. In order to serve God the way he wants to be served, we have to do it according to his plan, his will. So remember, Romans 15:4, those things written aforetime were written for our learning. And so God requires us to go back to the Old Testament to see who he is and what he's all about and what he requires. Now, we're not under the Old Testament law, but we learn from those things. They are there for a particular reason. We looked at Exodus chapter 40 and the continuance of Exodus is Leviticus. We saw from 40 that God told Moses to build the tabernacle. He was a five, build it according to the pattern. In Leviticus, when you get in there, this is what I want you all to do. And they had to do it according to God's plan. We saw Leviticus chapter 10, Nadab and Abihu, who decided to do it another way. While I'm talking in this, while I'm reviewing, go to 2 Chronicles chapter 7. 2 Chronicles chapter 7. And so Nadab and Abihu decided to do it another way. They were the children of Aaron, the sons of Aaron. They were priests. Their daddy was the high priest. Moses was their uncle. And so we saw Exodus chapter 24, verse 1 and verse 9, that they spent time with their daddy. They knew better. They just developed an idea. Let's spruce it up. And God punished them. Fire came down from heaven. And Aaron had to accept it. And so that's the tabernacle. That's where God talked to Moses. That's where God dwelt. And he dwelt there. He was there because everything was according to his will. Remember, Moses did everything that God required him to do, and therefore God dwelt there. It was holy. You remember when he told Moses, take your sandals off, for this is holy ground. At that point, that ground was utilized for God's sole purpose. And God said, this is holy ground. And so the temple at that point was utilized for God's purpose. And it was a holy temple, and God could dwell there. And he did. Now remember, if his worship was not right, or if they did something else beside what he required them to do, then God would not dwell there because the temple would be unholy. It's amazing in a sin offering when you look at Leviticus chapter 4, what the high priest had to do when he sinned against God. It was a lot of work to sacrifice the bull, a lot of walking. People knew that he sinned against God because that temple, that tabernacle had to stay holy. And when we worship God according to his will, then we are holy, and the church is holy. His tabernacle today is holy. Notice Solomon. So we're going to see some of the things that we saw with the tabernacle. We'll see God do similar things in the temple. Remember, the temple is still God's place. It's just stationary in Jerusalem. And Solomon will be the temple builder, not David. David wanted to build a house of the Lord, but no, God said no, it's going to be your seed, of course, which was Solomon. And 1 Chronicles 28:6, he said to me, your son Solomon is the one who will build my house and my courts. For I have chosen him to be a son to me, and I will be a father to him. In 2 Chronicles chapter 3 and verse 1, then Solomon began to build the house of the Lord in Jerusalem on Mount Moriah, where the Lord had appeared to his father David. At that place, at the place that David had prepared on the threshing floor of Arnon, the Jebusite. So God established a place of worship. That was Jerusalem. That's where his temple will be stationary. And we know when Christ came into existence, they were still worshiping in Jerusalem the way that God told them to worship. So the place was still there, and how they were supposed to do it, they were still doing that. This came from Moses. Years went on and on and on and on and on, hundreds of years, but they were still worshiping God the way he said to do it. They hadn't changed. Even though Mary and Joseph and Jesus had to walk many, many, many miles to get to Jerusalem, that was the place. That was a place, and in that place is where they had to do it. Didn't matter where you came from, that was the place. If people wanted to serve God and worship God the way he wanted to be worshipped, they had to do it according to his will. No changes. And we know the changes came when Christ did what he did on the cross. That's when the changes came into existence. Notice 2 Chronicles 7, verse 1. I want to show you something. Now when Solomon had finished praying, fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices. And the glory of the Lord filled the house. Now, if you go to Leviticus chapter 1, which we don't have to go there, Solomon, the burnt offerings came from what Moses said in Leviticus chapter 1. So Solomon is still worshiping God according to the plan, even though it's a temple. See, he's involving himself in burnt offering. The sacrifices, which came from Leviticus chapter 1, which started in the tabernacle. And the priest could not enter the house. Here we go again. Remember this? And the priest could not enter the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord filled the Lord's house. Here we go. Remember in Exodus chapter 40, the same thing happened. The glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Here, the glory of the Lord filled the house. Now, if you see the connection in verse 1, Solomon is involving himself, engaged in burnt offering and sacrifices, is according to God's will. And the glory of the Lord filled the house. Why? Because Solomon is doing it according to God's will, and the glory of God is there. It's holy. So he's worshiping God according to the plan. Now notice in verse 3, and all the sons of Israel seeing the fire, here we go again. The fire came down, and the glory of the Lord upon the house bowed down. Let me read that again. And all the sons of Israel seeing the fire come down, and the glory of the Lord upon the house, bowed down on the pavement with their faces to the ground, and they worshiped and gave praise to the Lord, saying, truly, truly, he is good. Truly, his loving kindness is everlasting. You see that? Now notice here, the fire came down, where? From heaven, but it did not consume them. God is accepting their burnt offering. See, he's accepting their burnt offering. In Leviticus chapter 10, the fire came down and consumed Nadab and Abihu because God did not accept that sacrifice. He did not accept that worship. And so God consumed them. here they're doing according to God's will. They're worshiping according to the plan, the burnt offerings and sacrifices that came from Moses. He's still doing it. And fire came down and the glory of the Lord upon the house. See, and they bowed down. Listen, the son of Israel bowed down on the pavement with their faces to the ground and they worshiped. Watch this. Let's keep going. Verse 4, then the king and all the people offered sacrifice before the Lord. What sacrifice? Well, they're doing what God told them to do. Solomon's heart is in it here. Now watch. His heart is with God. He loves God. He appreciates God. God had given him great wisdom. And so he wants to show God a respect. In order to show God his respect, he's going to worship God according to his will. He's the example. See, if we want to show God our respect, then we worship him according to his will. How do you respect God and then worship God in any kind of way? Do what you want to do and how you want to do it, but you say you respect God. That is disrespect. When my kids don't do what I require them to do, that's disrespect. When they do what I require them to do, that's respect. And so when they don't do what I require them to do, there's consequences for their sin because you want that respect. When they didn't do what God required them to do, God punished them to gain their respect. You see, it's not right to do that. Now, I want to go to James chapter 4. Here we go. And I'm going to hold your spot. James chapter 4 in verse 9. James chapter 4 in verse 9. Be miserable and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned into mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the presence of the Lord and he will exalt you. Do not speak against one another, brethren. He who speaks against a brother or judges his brother speaks against the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge of it. There is only one lawgiver and judge, the one who is able to save and destroy. But who are you to judge your neighbor? That's an unrighteous thing, things that you should not be judging about. But I like this. And this is what happens. See, verse 11, do not speak against one another, brethren. He who speaks against a brother or judges his brother speaks against the law. Now, of course, we have righteous judgment, John 7:24. This is not righteous judgment. And judge the law, but if you judge the law, you're not a doer of the law, but a judge it. And so when a person decides, I'm not going to worship God this way, I become a judge of the law, not a doer. I become an arrogant person. I do what I want to do and how I want to do it. And so I'm not a doer of the law. I'm judging the law. I'm looking at this law. You know, you ever study with people and they look at the law of Christ and they think, well, I know what the Bible says, but I think that, or this is what I prefer to do it this way. You're not a doer of the law. You become a judge. God is the only one that could do that. And that's a sin against God. See? Can't do that. Let's go back. So right now, Solomon is a doer of the law. He's not a judge of the law. And so he's so grateful to God. The Bible says that the king in verse 4 of chapter 7 of 2 Chronicles, then the king and all the people offered sacrifice before the Lord. And King Solomon offered a sacrifice of 22,000 oxen, 120,000 sheep. Thus the king and all the people dedicated the house of God. And the priests stood at their pots and the Levites with their instruments of music to the Lord. And the king, which King David had made for giving praise to the Lord, for his loving kindness is everlasting whenever he gave praise by their means, while the priests and the other side blew trumpets and all Israel was standing. And Solomon consecrated the middle of the court that was before the house of the Lord. For there he offered, listen to this, he offered burnt offerings and fat of the peace offerings. Burnt offerings, chapter 1, Leviticus chapter 1. Peace offerings, Leviticus chapter 3. As we go down, it says, because the bronze altar which Solomon had made was not able to contain the burnt offering, the grain offering, and the fat. The grain offering, Leviticus chapter 2. Solomon's sticking to the plan of worship. And God is so pleased with him, fire came down from heaven. God did not consume them. But notice something here. In verse 6, they're singing praises to God. In 2 Chronicles 29, I want to go there. 2 Chronicles, why are they doing it? 2 Chronicles 29, Solomon's still sticking to the plan. 2 Chronicles 29. Notice this. Verse 24, quickly. And the priests slaughtered them and purged the altar with their blood to atone for all Israel. For the king ordered the burnt offering and the sin offering for all Israel. They're still doing it. The sin offering, Leviticus chapter 4. The burnt offering, Leviticus chapter 1. Verse 25, he then stationed the Levites in the house of the Lord with cymbals, with harps, and lyre, according to the command of David and the Gad of the king Seir and of Nathan the prophet, for the commandment was from the Lord through his prophets. They are still doing what God requires them to do. And Levi stood with the musical instruments of David and the priests with the trumpets. Verse 29, now at the completion of the burnt offerings, the king and all who were present with him bowed down and worshiped. So Solomon is still sticking to the plan. In verse 6, he's utilizing instruments, the Levites with the instruments of music, because that was a commandment of God. So their sacrifices were of the commandments of God. They're singing praises and their instruments were of the commandments of God. Solomon did not tamper with that. He did not bend from that. He was doing what God required him to do. And God was so pleased with that, that fire came down from heaven. He accepted that sacrifice. I'll take it. It smells good. It's wonderful. It's what I require. I will take it. It's for me. Of course, I'm paraphrasing. But now watch Solomon. Watch what he does. 1 Kings chapter 11. Watch what he does. 1 Kings chapter 11. Solomon started off doing very well. Something happened. And it relates to the worship service. He started worshiping God according to the pattern. God accepted his worship. Something happened. See, we have to continue to worship God until the day we leave this earth. God's plan does not change. And we'll see when we get to the New Testament how we are under the New Testament worship. That plan that we're under does not change, will never change. It should never be tampered with. Never. These are examples for us to go by. Solomon, the great king, in 1 Kings chapter 11, verse 1. Now King Solomon loved many foreign women along with the daughters of Pharaoh, Moabite, Ammonite, Edomite, Sidonian, Hittite women from the nations concerning which the Lord had said, the sons of Israel, to the sons of Israel, you shall not associate with them. Neither shall they associate with you, for they will surely turn your heart away after their God. Solomon held fast to these in love. I'll tell you young people something. If you're single, be happy. You have more time to give to God. If you're looking for someone to marry, make sure he or she is someone that will lead you to heaven. You understand that? Don't always focus on what's on the outward appearance. Focus on what's inside. Now, you young people, I'm not going to go here, but you're going to be attracted. You're attracted to a certain type of young lady. That's fine. Young ladies attract a certain type of young men. That's fine. But if they don't have the inside, stay away. Solomon was attracted to these women to the point where They led him away. He married them. He's leaving God. He doesn't see how Satan's coming in. All that wisdom, he's allowing his emotions to take over. All that wisdom, he's allowing his emotions to take over. Look at verse 3. And he had 700 wives, Solomon, princesses, and 300 concubines. Wow, that's 1,000. And his wives turned his heart away. There's going to be things, we have to be careful. There's so many, we're introduced, we're bombarded with so many different ways to worship, TV channels, many ways of doing things on TV and different stations. And so it's just, we've been bothered with these things. If we're not careful, we don't stick to those things that we learned from the beginning, John chapter 2, 1 John chapter 2 and verse 24. We have to stick to what we learned from the beginning. If we don't do that, we'll be carried away. I became a Christian my junior year in college. And the things that I do, I still do the same things. When someone does it different, I don't want to be a part of it. What we're doing today was a wonderful worship, and I want to do it this way until the day God decides it's time for me to leave. And do you know when it's time for me to leave, if I do it according to God's will, God will say, "Job well done, my faithful servant." I don't want any changes. You shouldn't want any changes. We should not envy what they're doing across the street or down the street, around the corner. No, if I'm doing according to God's will, I should sing praises to him. I'm happy. I'm worshiping God according to his will. I am so satisfied, God, because you are satisfied with me. And nothing should turn my heart away. Doesn't matter what they're doing. It doesn't matter to me. If you want to do that, you go do that. I'm not doing it. It's not about me. Remember, when people want to change his worship, they want to spruce it up. It's about them. People come here sometimes to the Church of Christ and say, "It's boring." Well, won't you sit down and let me tell you what the heart should be like? Or why do we sing this way? I'm singing praises to God according to his will. I appreciate God. I'm sacrificing myself for God. I love him so much how he takes care of me. I'm so glad for salvation. I'm happy for paradise. I'm so grateful. I'm singing praises to him. Let me show you what the Bible says about how we sing. See, we have to be careful. It's a wonderful blessing to be in the midst of what God has developed. And so they turned his heart. Verse 4, again, it came about when Solomon was old, his wives turned his heart away after other gods. And you know that means his worship was not right. And his heart was not wholly devoted to the Lord, his God, as the heart of David, his father, had been. I don't know of any incident where David changed the worship. David made mistakes. And I'm going to tell you something. If God was looking for a perfect man or human being to work with on earth, he could not find anyone. These biblical characters were not perfect. God utilized them to grow and develop, but he utilized them for what he needed to utilize them for. But they were not full of perfection. David made mistakes. But God punished him. God still honored him. You notice when David made those mistakes and God punished him, David took his punishment like a man, but he never gave up on God. We read the story of David. David had a tough, it's like when I was reading David, it's like I was getting stressed. David had turmoil in his house, but he continued to work with God. See, David worshiped God, but Solomon, he started off well, and he changed, he tampered with the worship. His heart was not wholly devoted to God. And so I'm inclined to believe Solomon did still accepted those worship, the sacrifice that God put together through Moses, but he was not totally devoted. God is not going to be second. God must be first. You can't just come in here and just do what you want to do, and I'm going to devote some of my time to God. God does not require. Why do you think God in the book of Leviticus, these Old Testament sacrifices, how they were so meticulous. How they had to sacrifice the animals, and I mean, there was a lot of work to be done. A lot of work to be done. Remember, the worshiper, he brought the animal to the tabernacle or the temple, and he had to cut that animal to pieces. He had to clean the fat. Whatever the sacrifice was, he had a lot of work to do, especially with the sin offering, a whole lot of work. When he finished, the priest came in and dealt with the blood. You see, there's a lot of work to be done. Why? Because when a person does it that way, God knows that he is dedicated to me. If he's going to take a bull, a huge bull, and cut it up, clean up certain areas and put it in certain positions and do exactly what it takes, and all, he has blood all over his body. Remember, the worshiper was doing it. He has blood all over him. He's cutting his bull up. He has to do it according to God's will. He has to clean it. He has to remove this and do this and do that and do this. There's a lot of work to be done. God knows he's devoted to me. He wants to worship me because he's doing these things. These things are not easy. See, we want things to be easy. No. When things are not easy, that's when God knows I'm devoted to him. See, everybody's, I'm not saying everybody, but most people, you know, it's like when things are going so well, everything is just so beautiful, I have a wonderful life, then it's easy to be devoted to God. But when tribulation hits, that's when you show your devotion. See, when the sacrifice comes into existence, and that's when you show your devotion. That's when you, when things happen in your life, that's when you show that, God, I trust in you. It's in your hand. I'm going to keep moving for you. In verse 6, and Solomon did what was evil in the sight of the Lord and did not follow the Lord fully as David his father had done. Whoa. Solomon went off the mark. Sin against God. And of course, God is going to punish him for what he had done. See? Verse 9, the Lord was very angry with Solomon because his heart was turned away from the Lord, the God of Israel, who had appeared to him twice and had commanded him concerning the things that he should not go after other gods, but he did not observe what the Lord had commanded. So the Lord said to Solomon, because you have done this and have not kept my covenant and my statutes, which I have commanded you, I will surely tear the kingdom from you and will give it to your servant. See, you cannot. See, when a person tampers with God's worship, we're not devoted to God. Now, some people can accept another worship, but it's like there are people sometimes that they're married to someone of another type of worship who worship other places and believe other things, and so they try to balance it out. I accept this worship, I'm going to go over here, and then one Sunday I'll go over here. No, I'm not devoted to God. My sacrifice is that I have to worship God. I am devoted to the worship of God. I'm not wasting my time somewhere else because it doesn't matter to me. I'm devoted to God. And God was angry. And he punished him. Because he changed his ways. And he changed his worship. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. You know, in Acts 2, we'll get into this temple tonight. God set the way for salvation. In Acts 2, when they wanted to be saved, he said, repent, be baptized. Peter said this. In the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sin, you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Then those that gladly received this word were baptized, and God added to the church those who were being saved, such as were being saved. When God did that, David taught them first. Then they were baptized. Then they continued the apostles' doctrine. Remember, they were coming out of the Mosaic system. They had to learn how to worship. Respect that worship. They were added to the church. Now you're in there. This is what you have to do while you're there. If we can help you, please come have a stand and sing this song of invitation.